WBGRadio.com presents a fan's perspective on Notre Dame sports. This is Dome and Domer.
Hey, Irish fans, this is Dome and Domer, an online conversation about Notre Dame sports from a fan's perspective. I'm Mike Sullivan. Joining me today, Mike Brammer, and from ND Nation, Mike Coffey. And we're going to talk about Notre Dame's 91-74 Big East win over Cincinnati at the Joyce Center on Tuesday night. Okay, you guys can start us out here. Mike Coffey, I assume you were at the game. Is that right?
I was not at the game, but I did get a chance to listen. Certainly a tale of two halves, if nothing else. I mean, whatever was going, with everything that was going wrong in the first half turned right around to go right in the second half. I mean, I think they scored more points in the second half yesterday than they scored all day Saturday against Marquette, and 37-point differential between the first and the second half is something you don't see too often.
Really quite remarkable. Bram, what are your thoughts on what triggered? Well, okay, let's back up a little bit, and we want to talk about the Cincinnati game, but it's hard to talk about this game without first addressing the Marquette disaster. Okay, so coming out of the Marquette game, you know, what were the things that you saw that we did poorly in Milwaukee, aside from run into a buzzsaw, right, that continued in the first half? What were those things that we were not doing well that were uncharacteristic for us?
Well, you know, in the Marquette game, I think what you saw was, number one, we made no effort whatsoever to defend the three, and we gave them a lot of open looks. That then led into guys getting a little bit lethargic on the defensive side of the ball, and we just, you know, we weren't really playing defense like we play defense. Marquette got a little bit hot, so we got pretty much extremely cold. And, you know, I don't know if that's just one of those games you can chalk up that, that happens during the course of a season where you just don't come out and nothing seems to click.
Look, you think there was some hangover effect coming out of that game into the first half against Cincinnati?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I thought the one thing you saw right away was all of a sudden it looked like we lost our confidence. And I was, you know, I'm sitting there watching the first half thinking, oh, my God, here we go. You know, the whole season's going to spin on us. What I liked what I saw was in the first half, Cincinnati's approach was to kind of delay for like a half second or two on Heron Goody when the ball was thrown down, then to collapse on him as Heron Goody started to make his move and kind of really frustrated him. In the second half, which was, I thought, a great adjustment on Bray's part, the second Heron Goody got the ball, he immediately made a quick spin move. I mean, it didn't even really give them time to come down. And, you know, I think part of it was just his confidence as well. But we clearly did make some adjustments in the second half that seemed to open it up.
Okay, you touched upon, I think, a key word here, confidence. Mike Coffey, A, as a fan, and then try to put yourself in the mindset of the players. Do you think, did you at any point after getting blown out in Milwaukee and then you come back and really look bad in the first half, did you begin to doubt this team a little bit? Was your confidence shaken, and do you think theirs was?
I didn't start doubting them per se. I think maybe a major contribution to what happened last Saturday was that was this team's first actual road game of the season. And here we are in mid-January, and they haven't played in a truly hostile arena all season. I think when you set your schedule up that way, you're almost asking for stuff like that to happen. Listening to the game and how the first half was going, I agree with Brammer. I think that Cincinnati dedicated themselves to taking Heron Goody away, and Luke helped them, as he said, by not being decisive down in the post. That 1 second hesitation would allow them to make that collapse and really make him work for his points and make it tougher for him to pass out of the double teams. He was much better with the ball in the second half, and Notre Dame is at its most dangerous when they can get both Luke Heron Goody working down low and at least one of the guards, be it Jackson or McElarney or whoever, working from the outside, because you can find very few teams that can match up one-on-one with a team who can do both of those.
I tell you about Luke Heron Goody, one of the things that I really like about him, and I think what makes him so effective, is that decisive quick move on the post. I mean, I think we all had frustration over the years with Taryn Francis and how robotic he was and how the ball would get kicked down into the post, and he would just seem to take forever to recognize what he wanted to do with it. And Heron Goody is always most effective, I think, when he's making that quick move, that spin move on the baseline, or, you know, a quick mid-range jumper. When he's decisive, he's virtually unstoppable.
Yeah, he's got he's deceivingly fast. I mean, you look at him and you don't think that he's as quick as he is, and he is. And the other thing that he does pretty well is he does separate himself. I mean, he finds that angle to get distance from his defender and can get the shot off, and he's got soft touch, soft hand, soft touch, and I mean that's going to score you points.
And one thing that I always compare him to Siobhan Troutman from Pittsburgh, and I hated Troutman for the years that he was with the Panthers because this kid was 6'6". You look at him, you think there is no way in hell this guy can possibly hurt us. He doesn't have the height. He doesn't really. It doesn't look like he can move people. But you get him the ball down there, like you said, quick, decisive moves, and there are times when you can't guard the guy. He drove us crazy for 4 years with Pitt, and I'm glad we've got someone like
that. Yeah, that's a great analogy. Guys like that, you hate them when they're there, and they're there for like 8 years at the opponent's school. You know, they're there forever, and you just know that's how our opponent's fans feel about Aaron Cody already, you know. But that's a great analogy to Troutman.
And you know that he's getting under their skin because you take a quick trip around the opponent's message board, they're already coming with derogatory nicknames for him, and you can just tell that they hate his guts, and I just love it.
You know, I hope that when he's done and has had a tremendous career here, that people respect him. I'm going to throw out Jerry McNamara. You know, I hated Jerry McNamara for the time he was at Syracuse, but now, you know, what a great ball player. You got to love a guy like that now, but you hated him at the time. And I hope Aaron Godey can ascend to that position of respect, at least, from our opponents. Now, let's talk about that. I mean, he's the leading scorer in the Big East, I think, through, you know, four games. If I'm not Mike Coffey, do you know that to be true? I think that's true.
If he's not the leader, he's in the team picture.
He's right up there.
Actually, the kid from Cincinnati was Aaron Godey and him. So, and obviously, Aaron Godey had a better game than him. So unless somebody leapfrogged him, he's definitely.
Yeah. Well, does he have a shot at Player of the Year, Big East Player of the Year, if he keeps this type of thing up?
Oh, no doubt.
Well, sometimes I think there is a little bit of you have to come in hyped to get that award, like the Heisman to a certain degree. But Mike Coffey, you don't think there's any doubt that he is a legitimate bona fide candidate for that?
Oh, he absolutely is. I think combined with the fact that Hibbert from Georgetown certainly came in with the accolades, but he hasn't really, I mean, other than that wacky three-pointer he hit against Pitt the other day, he hasn't been setting the world on fire. I'm starting to wonder whether Hibbert's regretting his decision to come back for another year, especially considering the Green.
I can't believe that you just did that a couple days before we go out to play Georgetown. You know what you just did.
Hey,
the guy's going to have 40 points and 20 rebounds now.
Well, I think he's going to do that anyway. I think the key to stopping Georgetown is stopping everyone else because Hibbert's going to get his. You just have to keep everyone
right.
else.
Okay, so back to this.
No, I was just going to say real quick, Aaron Godey has done his deals against some pretty good competition. I mean, the kid from Kansas State. It's not like we fear anybody playing Aaron Godey down low. I mean, there's guys that give him trouble. Obviously, the kid from UConn being 7'3", but the fact of the matter is, Aaron Godey so far has matched up with everybody he's gone against. I don't think Hibbert is going to intimidate.
Well, I mean, you know, he did have a 14 points, 10 rebounds against UConn, an ugly night shooting, and he was on the bench as the game was, you know, decided down the line. I think that there are some matchups that will give him trouble, but I mean that's going to happen over the course of you know, a long season, particularly in the Big East. He's going to have nights where he ball doesn't bounce his way and he gets maybe just a bad matchup here and there. But overall, what he's done and you know, I think we have a high degree of confidence what he's going to continue to do. This kid is just what a terrific basketball player because he's so tough, so tenacious, got great quickness. You look at him, you think, how does he do what he does?
Yeah, he is. No, there's no doubt about it. He's a legit. I don't think anybody going into any of the games that we've got that rest on our schedule in the Big East. I mean, he's about as good as it gets. I don't think we have any.
Okay, now let's get back to the game a little bit and how important this game was. So, you know, Aaron Godey really triggered the run in the second half where he scored, 24 points in the second half. Everybody got going. And Mike Coffey, you know, I think you make a good point when Aaron Godey is effective in the low post, everything else is going to open up. And McElarney certainly had another big night.
Well, basketball is a tapestry. I think if you're a one-dimensional team, you're not going to have a lot of success. I think in the past, like two, three seasons ago, when the team was going to the NIT and they weren't getting a lot of success, even though they had players like Thomas and Francis on the team, The problem was lack of production in the low post. If the opposing team didn't have to respect the low post, especially on defense, then they could wreak all kinds of havoc out on the perimeter. Well, now we have somebody down low that they have to respect. They have to think about the double team. They have to think about rotating over to help. And if you give those perimeter defenders one more thing they have to think about, you increase the chances they're going to make a mistake on the guy they're supposed to be guarding, leaving the perimeter shooters.
Although, I mean, let's look at that recipe against Marquette. Heron Godey pretty much had his way. But Marquette, a very skilled backcourt, they were able to let Heron Godey get his and then get out and extend the defense and create havoc with our ball handlers. Not everybody's got that, the kind of backcourt Marquette does, thankfully. But it did, that formula, for a lot of reasons, didn't get it done at Marquette. But I certainly am looking forward to playing them back here in South Bend down the road. But the Cincinnati game, just huge coming off of that loss because of what you have coming up on the road, Villanova and Georgetown.
Yeah, it was almost like another must-win situation. I mean, we've seen that like three times this year, maybe in the last – you know, four games, but clearly that's not a game you want to lose, especially after getting blown out to Marquette. And I think, you know, it's interesting because you look at Notre Dame fans and you get back to this whole situation with Bray and how much respect he garners among the Notre Dame faithful. Think of this. With that win against Cincinnati, he is now 43-14 against Big East teams.
At home, you mean?
I mean, who would have thought that? At home, yeah, exactly. Who would have thought that at the first time you hear that thrown out at you this year, if you didn't know that already? I mean, that's just something that at the beginning of his career, if you would have said that's what he's going to do, what do you think? I mean, geez, that's
sure. I think one of the things he recognized early is, you know, you absolutely have to hold serve at home in conference, and that's always been a big priority, I think.
I know one thing that going back to the UConn game earlier this month, I was watching the first half when Notre Dame was just putting on a clinic against this team that was filled with all these hot recruits and stuff. And I was hearkening back to the mid-90s, 1990s, when going 4-14, 8-10 in the league, just getting our doors blown off regularly. And I was thinking to myself, you know, it's such a tonic thinking back to those days, and you wondered, is Notre Dame ever going to get on its horse in the Big East and get things going? And then you throw a stat like Mike did where – did anyone think in those days that we would have a coach in here who would against the cream of the Big East? It's not like we're ducking all the tough teams. I mean, this is against the Syracuses and UConns and the Georgetowns and all those teams coming in and having that kind of a success. You know, it's
it is, and yeah, those dark days I remember. I mean, you just felt like we'll never be able to compete. And honestly, some of that lingers with me. Even, you know, Cincinnati comes in with a 500 record, and we have a 30-game home streak. And I was very worried about this game because, in my mind, we just are going to get outclassed athletically. That's those lingering scars, I think, that remain from the first couple years in the Big East. But one of the things – yeah, go ahead, Mike.
Well, that's certainly something to think, and I get those fears sometimes myself. I mean, we're always going to get matchups where the other team is going to be faster than we are. The other team is going to be able to really get on us defensively. I think we saw some of that with Marquette. Marquette is put together in such a way that will frustrate us, but I think that we see a lot fewer of those teams than we used to. I mean, looking down the schedule, once we get through these next two games, going to Georgetown and to Villanova, I think the schedule becomes relatively manageable. I think we've played a lot. I mean, obviously going to UConn is going to be tough. But, you know, you look at some of the games on the schedule. I mean, going to Rutgers, going to South Florida, two against DePaul, which is kind of a schizophrenic team. I mean, I think we can hold our own, and that's certainly a welcome feeling.
Oh, I agree with you. I think there's some winnable road games. And, you know, overall, what do we think of the conference four games in? Who do you like, and who's a bit of a puzzle to you?
Yeah, there's definitely some more questions this year, I think. I mean, I don't, you know, Cincinnati, I don't think you can say that was such a bad team. I mean, they've had some big wins on their schedule already. So, gave you a little bit more sense that, you know what, that game's going to be a real tough one for us to win last night. But certainly I think UConn is kind of an up-and-down team. They got a lot of young players on that team, but they're certainly athletic. I mean, you got to think that Georgetown and Pittsburgh are the cream of the crop, and it's going to end.
Marquette might be good enough to be considered in that when they're healthy. you know, Marquette might be good enough to be in that group. Mike Coffey, what do you think? Who do you like in the Big East so far?
Well, Mike, I think you used the key word there, healthy. I think part of what's the standings are a little up and down now, partially because home court really seems to be mattering. I mean, look at Villanova. They've looked great at home. Then they go to DePaul and lose. They go to Cincinnati and lose. It's almost like some of these teams are schizophrenic depending on where they're playing. But some other of these teams, 10 people together for a scrimmage with all the people they've had in and out. Pitt lost two key guards, and yet they somehow managed to beat a Georgetown team that I think was pretty close to full strength. Syracuse loses Devendorf for the year. I mean, I think the injury bug is really starting to bite a lot of the top echelon teams. And I know some people don't like to say, well, the top teams are injured. We can contend now. I mean, I don't think that's something negative against Notre Dame. I think it's just saying that Notre Dame now has an opportunity born of the fact that they're healthy and other teams are struggling with it. I know we've had things like that in the past. I remember a couple of years ago when Taryn Francis was playing hurt and eventually went out, and Chris Thomas battled injuries his whole last 2 years. So that's I think the key is going to be if Notre Dame can stay healthy and take advantage of its opportunities, there's no reason they can't.
I agree with you. I mean, you look so far through four games, and the model, you know, the recipe has been this is a great rebounding team, leads the conference in rebounding margin. This is a great free throw shooting team, a great three-point shooting team. They take care of the basketball, have good assist-to-turnover ratio. I mean, those are the things that you have to do well in order to win on the road, you know, but to win conference games. I think defensively, are we there yet? Are we a consistent enough defensive force to give you the confidence when you go on the road? You know, Brammer, what do you think? Defensively, are we there yet?
I think we are at home. For some reason, we're not there yet on the road. I mean, we obviously haven't proven that yet. My gut feeling is it's going to come down to how well we shoot. I mean, I think there's only so much we can do on the defensive side of the ball, and then it's going to come down to how well we shoot, and that's ultimately it's going to
Mike Coffey, do you agree with that? And if you do, do you think that's a question of personnel or emphasis by the coaching staff?
Well, I'm hesitant to say emphasis on the coaching staff because look how good our rebounding stats are this year, and then the knock for so many years, oh, Mike Bray doesn't care about rebounding. Well, I don't think it's that they don't care about rebounding. Is do they have the horses to be able to out-rebound their opponents? Do I think we're there defensively? Yeah, I'm not sure. We see flashes of it. We see flashes of it, like against Cincinnati in the second half last night, against UConn in the first half. I haven't yet seen a game where we truly put our foot on someone's throat.
I would have said West Virginia was a good example of that.
I think that probably is the best example we've seen. We need to see a lot more examples of that. And West Virginia's no slouch.
No, that's a good basketball team.
It's not like they're a bad team. I think the personnel's kind of mismatched for what Huggins wants to do, but it's not like they're not talented. And let's remember the same – who did West Virginia then – West Virginia then went up tomorrow. The more consistency we can show,
right,
the better off.
West Virginia, you cut out there for a minute, Mike. West Virginia beat Marquette at West Virginia, I think, if I'm not mistaken. All right, well, we're going to wrap it up there. We got two huge games coming up on the road for the Irish in the Big East at Georgetown, at Villanova. Those two games, I don't think you need to necessarily get one of those to kind of keep the season moving forward. If you do, my opinion is that's a bonus, that's gravy. When you look at the schedule, neither of those two games are games you expect to win. But if you get one, man, it really sets you up for maybe a run at the title. So a huge couple games coming up for the Irish. We'll have more after those games. We'll continue our discussion on Notre Dame basketball, Mike Bray and the job he's doing, etc. If you have any questions or comments, go to our website, domeanddomer.com, and post a comment there, or send us an email, info@domeanddomer.com. Until then, for Mike Coffey and Mike Brammer, I'm Mike Sullivan. We'll see you next time on Dome and Domer.